gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free DC, where the freedom of speech is still free for now. And your First Amendment rights are protected here. This is a safe zone for your First Amendment rights. That's right, folks. Right here in the nation's capital. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you haven't. Doesn't know whether CNN fired Dr. Drew Pinsky for expressing concerns about Hillary's health. Yes, Dr. Drew Pinsky. An addiction and sexual therapist and scientist, doctor, physician. And he was fired for just questioning Hillary's health. They let him go. This is another instance of your First Amendment rights being tampered with by political correctness. Also, you may have heard that the FBI just dropped detailed interview notes on Friday before Labor Day. Happy Labor Day, by the way. And Trump spoke at a Detroit Great Faith Ministries church and received a standing ovation. So Wayne T. Jackson gave him a prayer shawl and two Bibles. A Jewish messianic study, one for Donald and one for his wife Melania. Also in recent news over the weekend, so much has happened. China wouldn't or could not find an airplane ramp stairway. They couldn't find an Air Force One sized rolling stairway for Obama when he arrived for the summit, the G20 summit for so he had to climb awkwardly off the back of Air Force One. Donald Trump says this is just more examples of how we're not respected by the other nations in the world. A rolling stairway could not be found for Obama when he arrived for the summit in China. In other news, happy birthday to Steve Winkler. Actually, happy birth month. Last week was his birthday. How you doing, Steve?
Man, thank you so much, cousin brother.
Hey.
Cousin yeah, brother yeah. in the Lord. Thank you so much. Yes, well, had a great birthday. And, you know, when you get older, you know, I don't know, and your humanity, you're like, oh, man, you know, there's a part of you that almost dreads looking forward to another year of getting older. But you know what? In the Lord, you know what it says in Proverbs? It says that a head of gray hair is an honor if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, fortunately, I don't have a head of gray hair. I'm starting to get a little bit of gray around the temples. But
only his hairdresser knows for sure.
Well, at least I have, you know, when I think about eventually getting head of gray hair, I think, well, you know what? It's an honor if it be found in the way of righteousness. So that's what I have to say about that.
Also, I'd like to give a shout-out, Steve, to my son Bobby and his lovely wife Patricia for their wedding anniversary today.
Oh, that's right. Well, happy anniversary.
Yeah.
And that was an awesome wedding, by the way. As your listeners may or may not know, I was married for 13 years, and my beloved wife, Erica, passed away 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago now, and she's with the Lord. But she absolutely loved their wedding. And I remember it was out at the Vineyard, that vineyard out there. And where was that? Was that in...
just past Sterling, like... west on Route 7, I forget exactly where it was.
Well, it's hard to believe that there's anything like that still located in that area in Sterling, you know?
Well, hey, you know, Trump's vineyard is down in Charlottesville. Trump has
a vineyard down there,
in Virginia. Yeah. It's run by his son, Eric.
When's he going to invite us to come down and do some wine tasting?
Hey, you're supposed to get in touch with him, aren't you?
Yeah,
you know, I think he's kind of busy right now.
I think
so. How
about
that trip to Mexico, though?
Yeah.
That trip to Mexico. And nobody thought he would do it. Everybody was like, ah, no. He's not. Hillary didn't go. She was invited, but she didn't go. Additionally, we have, like, the flooding that happened in Louisiana, and still Obama hasn't gone. He's still at Martha's Vineyard, and he's been playing golf, and he's, you know, and where is all the outcry? Where's the public outcry? Remember when Bush just did a flyover, and everybody, after Hurricane Katrina, everybody, the media included, all the liberal media, of course, was chiming in. Oh, what is that? What kind of, how disconnected? Why didn't he go down there and visit with them and give them aid and comfort in their time of need? In fact, there's even speeches where Obama, as a senator, was saying, I can't believe, it's unconscionable that I can't find who's in charge here and how we can get aid and assistance to these people that are suffering, people on the rooftops looking up at the sky with no help in sight, and all that Bush does is a flyover. So Obama was right in there with him, criticizing him, and now what's he doing? He hasn't even gone to Louisiana yet. Neither has Hillary. They haven't gone. It's been 2 weeks. They haven't gone.
Well, one standard for them, and another standard for the rest of us,
right.
You know. And of course, I haven't researched this, but it wouldn't surprise me if the areas that got flooded out are heavily filled with Republican voters. That wouldn't surprise me. You know.
Yeah. Oh man, I tell you what. So anyway, in other news. We have, back to this thing with Air Force One, that the Chinese could not find a stairway for Obama to climb off of his airplane, off his jet when he got there. Did you hear about that?
I did not hear about this. This is the first that I'm hearing about this, but it doesn't surprise me. You know, if I might, this is commonplace now. And let me throw out a little disclaimer here. Is it possible that the Chinese just didn't have their act together? Sure, it's possible. It is highly unlikely that they didn't have that set up and ready to go. I mean, you know, really, with all the cyber attacks that they're launching, that they're so good at, you know, come on, you can't tell me that they wouldn't have been able to think through something as simple as this. But this is all too commonplace all around the world, and that the United States is not respected anymore. The United
exactly.
States is disrespected and with a very deep level of disrespect. But this is what happens when you jet around the world and you go on the apology tour. And
right,
you know, one of the most disturbing examples was when Obama went to Japan, and he's over there trying to apologize for, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the Prime Minister of Japan, I don't remember his name, but the Prime Minister / President, he's like, you know, trying to, no, it's okay, no, it's all right. And the thing that was most glaring to me about that. It showed that Obama had no understanding and no respect, for that matter, for Japanese culture, because what he did, that is a terrible faux pas. That's actually showing disrespect towards Japanese people. But, you know, that's par for the course with what we've had for the past 7.5 years. But hopefully, that will be changing very soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another thing was the email, the detailed interview notes were dumped on Friday, right before this Labor Day holiday, by the FBI. That's an old trick right there, is that everybody knows that when you dump something on the news cycle the Friday before a holiday. And let's remember that they interviewed Hillary and asked her questions and took copious notes. These are the notes that were sent by the FBI this past Friday. They took copious notes. That was on the Saturday of 4th of July weekend. So since when does the FBI come by and do an interview? They didn't swear her under oath. Nothing was recorded digitally, or, you know, nothing was recorded. They were just supposedly took down some notes and found out, you know, well, recently you were talking about this too. CNN freaked out. One of the interviewers freaked out when her fact checker could not deny that Hillary had 13 devices and smashed some of them with hammers in order to dispose of evidence that was on those devices. So, I mean, it's just crazy.
Brother, let me tell you something.
A banana republic?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, In fact, this morning, I thought, you know, let's see what some of the liberal left-wing rags have to say about this issue of the smashing of these devices, these mobile devices. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I had the misfortune of reading what one quote-unquote journalist, if you could call her that, had to say from the Washington Post. And I didn't know whether to laugh, be angry, or cry. It was pathetic. And all it was, oh, well, you know, this is just how they dispose of, these devices have to be disposed of very quickly, and this is just the best way to do it.
Right.
You know, it's just an utter rear-end-kissing apology to, you know, the Clinton camp. And it really is appalling. I mean, now, you know, thankfully there are some people in the Democrat Party and there are some people on the left that are beginning to notice this, and they're beginning to stand up and say something. Now, there's not nearly enough of them, but at least there are some people that are intellectually honest that can see this for what it is. But this article then went into, you know, furious spin cycle and began to explain away all the other scandals. But, you know, this is part of the problem that we've been, when we've talked about it on this show, the Iron Triangle. And the Iron Triangle is, it's three things. You know, it's the leftist, Democrat, leftist control of our educational systems from kindergarten to post-grad. It is the anywhere and everywhere where leftist Democrats have control of local, state, and federal government, and then there's the leftist control of the mainstream news media, you know. But you know, great segue into going back and talk and transitioning over to talk about Trump, and this is one of the main reasons why Trump has become so popular with a lot of voters, because, you know, he's like the bulldozer going through the White House. You know, that harkens back to the prophetic word that we discussed.
The Mark Taylor word.
He's like
detailed.
A bulldozer. He's not afraid. He is not afraid, and he is learning to, you know, not take things personally when he's attacked by the mainstream news media. But we were talking about this before the show started. For our listeners, we were talking about how awesome it is that, unlike Wilbur Milquetoast Mitt, who just sat there and let Obama hand his rear end to him, Trump's not going to do that. And that's one of the things I absolutely love about Donald Trump.
Yeah, and it so offends the sensibilities of these so-called principled conservatives. But you know what? There's a huge swelling of people that are going to rise up, if you believe the prophecies that are spoken by Mark Taylor and others, that these guys are really, they're what's known as the silent majority. And as you drive through the two-lane roads up and down the East Coast, you will see one after another Trump signs. I'm talking about big Trump banners, talking about Trump signs that cover barns. Trump, you know, and these are not poor, angry white men. These are not just the angry, get off my lawn type bigots that the media is trying to make them out to be. These are well-to-do people. That some of them have a lot of money. Some of them are well-educated, many of them. And this is what is known as, has been known as the silent majority. But broadcast engineer Douglas, we would like to go to song number three. This is the original version by Jay Giles Band. And I believe it describes Donald Trump. Number three. Number three. Douglas.
Number three.
Hey, you're listening to Radio Free DC from high atop the capital of the free world.
And we are back. This is Steve Winkler, live on the air with my cousin Jamie Winkler. And you know what, brother? I tell you what, that song before the song that intros us back in was Jay Giles' song. And it got me thinking about the first concert that I ever went to. I was like 12, 13 years old. And it was a three-bill concert. It's a great story. It was Mahogany Rush, which was a phenomenal band out of Canada, a Canadian band. Yeah. Frank Marino, incredible guitar player. You know, him and Robin Trower were the heir apparents to Jimi Hendrix after Jimi Hendrix died. And I was a huge fan of Mahogany Rush. So I went to see them. Well, they opened the concert, and then it was Jay Giles. It was Atlanta Rhythm Section and Jay Giles Band. And we got lost on the way there, and we ended up getting there late. It was in Charlestown, West Virginia, at the Charlestown Racetrack. And it was a freak show. I mean, it was an all day kind of concert event, outdoor concert event, and it was this bizarre mix of a bunch of hippies and a bunch of hippie hillbillies. And I'll never forget this poor guy. This guy was walking around. All he had on were a pair of cutoffs, jean cutoffs, and the cutoffs had been ripped to where it almost looked like a skirt. And he had a big, huge jar, and it had, and we all knew what it was moonshine. And this guy was so wasted, his eyes were crossed, and he kept stumbling around, and everybody was like, whenever he would stumble over towards one group of people, they would all be like, no, go away, go away, go away. But I have to tell you that I wasn't really a huge Jay Giles fan, but the Atlanta Rhythm Section stole that show. That was one of the best bands that I ever saw. They were unbelievable. And anybody that is really into music and knows the history of that band, they were all session musicians. But, you know, don't get me wrong, Jay Giles was great. I mean, they were good, but when we left, we were all like, oh, man, ARS, Atlanta Rhythm Section, stole that show. But that was my first concert in the 70s, of course.
Yeah, I saw them at a free concert, American University, but the lead singer was so drunk, he kept falling down. He couldn't finish the songs. It was terrible. Oh, man, it was bad.
The 1970s.
He was blurring over the lyrics, yeah. It was a free concert, though, so we didn't, you know, we couldn't complain.
Yeah, you know, I remember when I saw Golden Earring, that they were the ones that did Write Our Love, and the drummer would do this mm-hmm. thing where he would, at the end of the last song, he would stand up on the drum stool, and he would jump over the drums, and when he would hit the stage, the flash powder would go off, you know, boom! And when I saw them, it was a three-bill concert, and so he jumps over the drums, and when he jumped off of the stool kicked sideways, so he lost his trajectory as he was going over the drums, and one of his foot hit one of the ride toms, so he landed on his knee on the stage.
Oh, man.
And we were all like, oh my gosh, and he got up and limped off the stage. And the whole crowd was like laughing, and like, we didn't know whether to laugh or feel bad for the guy, because we were like, well, did he break his leg or what? Of course, it was the last song in their set, so, you know, I guess they probably took him straight to the hospital. I don't know. The 70s, you know? What a time.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, one of the things I really like about the lead singer of the Food Fighters,
Dave Grohl.
Even after Dave broke his leg, he still continued to tour.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it was through some stunt that he was doing, and he just kept on going, man. I mean, they hauled him off the stage on one night, but then he was back, you know, back on tour the next.
Yeah. You know, he's Fairfax County's own. I mean, he grew up in Fairfax County, and for those of our listeners, and, you know, there might be some listeners listening tonight. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people know that, but any of you, this is a shout-out to Paul Lundy. I don't know, Paul, if you're listening, but Paul knew Dave, and I think I shared this once before on the show. And by the way, for our listeners, this show, you never know what you're going to get. We'll go from talking mm-hmm. about politics one minute, we'll go right into music and something. And that's a great thing about this show. So that's a plug to keep listening. You never know what you're going to get.
Well, I mean, we couldn't help but talk about politics because, I mean, it's just too crazy. Everything that's going on, it's like there's never a dull moment. We're doing this show every 2 weeks. We'd like to go every week. And by the way, appreciate if you want to donate. Yeah, if you can go to our website, bbsradio.com/radiofreeDC, and make a donation, that will help us stay on the air, because we would love to continue and go week to week instead of every 2 weeks. We're going biweekly right now. But that would be amazing if we could just do this every 2 weeks. And we would like to go every day, to tell you the truth. Right, Steve?
Man, you'll get, you know what, donate. Please do donate, because not only are you going to get a lot of really hard-hitting stuff on politics, but you're going to get a lot of great stories, too.
mm-hmm.
But the story about Paul, just really quick, is amazing. Paul Lundy grew up one street over from me, and he was mm-hmm. really good friends with my younger brother, and Paul and I have got really close over the past 10 years. We all grew up together.
Yeah, we're,
you know?
our families are really close.
Paul was back in the 80s, he was in some metal bands, and so this kid's like, oh man, Paul, you got to play with this guy, man, he's a great drummer. And Paul's like, all right, well, who is he? Oh, his name's Dave. He's like, all right, well, what bands does he play with? Well, he doesn't really play with any bands. Well, what do you mean? Well, he just, you know, you got to play with him, man. You got to play with him. He, yeah, I've been over his house, and man, he's just awesome. He's awesome. He's like, well, who is he? Well, he's a little bit younger than you, but he's really good. And Paul said this guy would not leave him alone. So finally he gave in. And so he hauls his Marshall stack, his half stack, down into the basement, this guy's basement. And there's Dave Grohl, 13-year-old, stringy-haired, skinny little kid. And Paul said he was really impressed. He said, you know, he was like, wow, man, you know, for being 13 years old. And at that time, Grohl was into a lot of speed metal. But Paul knew him and played with him a couple times. And eventually, as the years went by, I used to see him at shows every once in a while.
Yeah, you know, the band
that Paul was in was opening for them.
It's hard to believe that a superstar like Dave Grohl was just a local yokel in the suburbs just outside of Washington, D.C., and Springfield, Annandale area. Springfield, actually.
Yep.
Hey, let's go to a song, Steve, and then we can come back and you can tell us more about that that encounter. Let's go to song number 6. This is a song called Quick Joey Small by the Kasenitz Cats Singing Orchestral Circus.
Hey, you want to catch a good contractor? Check these guys out. Cap Enterprises, LLC. Now, these are the guys I call on when I really need something done, and done right, and done in a hurry. They're licensed, they're insured, and they're professionals. So, have them come to your project, whatever it may be, whether it's commercial or residential, and they will get the job done right. They'll do it according to code. They'll do it with all, they'll pull the permits. They'll take care of all the dirty work for you. Give them a call, 703-980-1632. These are really good guys. Cap Enterprises, LLC. Listen, anytime I get into a bind, or if I need something done and I need it done right, I invite these guys over to take a look and give me an estimate. I always consider them because they're the best. They're the best available locally. So, yeah. Hey, hold it down out there. I'm trying to conduct a commercial for crying out loud. So check them out. Cap Enterprises, LLC. They're located on the web, capartco.com. That's CAPARTCO.com. Or give them a call, 703-980-1632. Tell them I sent you, and get out there and catch a good contractor. Celebrity voices impersonated.
Welcome back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Radio Free DC. This is Steve Winkler, and I am here with my cousin, brother in the Lord, Mr. Jamie Winkler. Jamie, say hello.
That's right. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
We were talking before the break about how this show is unpredictable, and you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes we get hot, hard, and heavy right into politics, and we talk about some really relevant current stuff that's going on in the country. And then other times we transition off into music. We love talking about music. And we were talking about April.
Talking about Labor Day. You're Having My Baby. You know that song by Neil Diamond? I think it was Neil Diamond. You're Having My Baby.
I don't remember that.
I'll say that's a joke, son. You're supposed to laugh.
Boy, it's as sharp as a bowling ball. But anyway, I have another great story.
We were talking about something really important.
Mr. Haney?
I mean, a lot of these are programs that millennials don't even know about. You know, like, Mr. Douglas, how would you like to buy a professional seed spinner?
Mr. Haney, I don't want a professional seed spinner. But you know, a lot of them do know about it, brother. And you know how? Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I know maybe the older millennials. Can you believe we actually have older millennials now? Because you know that.
But wait a minute. Now, what are millennials?
They turned 18 in the year 2000.
18, the year 2000. Okay.
Yep. Those are millennials. Yep. So that would mean so those would be
are the,
born.
This is the touchy-feely generation.
Oh yeah, the
safe space. I need a safe space to go hide.
The little snowflakes and cupcakes. You know, they're very idealistic. You know,
and they believe that climate change is a real danger. It's a real threat. Is that an overgeneralization? But
no,
what?
No, most of them, and that's part of their idealism. You know, yeah, let's just join hands and sing Kumbaya and change the world. You know, and and they're not all like that. I mean, hey, you know, your kids are millennials, and they're not like that. You know,
well, not too much. I mean, I just had a really interesting conversation with my son over the weekend, and he was saying how, well, you need to be more sensitive and not sound like an angry, an angry guy who's just complaining and criticizing everything about Obama and Hillary and the Democrat Party.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was basically saying you need to discuss the issues, and I was saying, yeah, but I mean, you got to understand how outrageous it is to us when we, for example, if we are pro-life, all of a sudden we're accused of being anti-women's rights, or if we criticize Obama's policies, we're prejudiced or we're bigots, or if we, if we criticize what is status quo and what is being pushed forward by the liberal media, then all of a sudden we get accused of being like bigots, racist, mean people, you know, the ones that are just lacking understanding about cultural and societal issues, and how cruel we are to not want Syrian refugees to come flooding into our country. You know, that kind of thing. It's just like, now we're all of a sudden we're Islamophobes, you know, and every other bad name in the book we get called. But if we turn around and call them bad names, then all of a sudden we're the mean old, you know, mean old Republican conservatives that are just like, you know, prejudice and angry white guy. Yeah, get off my lawn.
Well, like, you know, like the Rolling Stones, hey, get off my cloud.
Right.
let me say something here. So, first of all, it's not the thing about the anger is it to me is acceptable if it's anger, it's righteous anger. And so, in other words, it's more about being upset over the extremely corrupt practices of politicians. And oh, by the way, it's not just the Democrats. The vast majority of the Democrat Party that we're at odds with. It's what I call the Republicans, the establishment Republicans, because the establishment Republicans, well, they talk a good game, but really they just want to go along to get along so that they can have their little career and have their, you know. So, but really, anger, you know, the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. Now, what does that mean? It means that there's a, that anger is a normal human emotion, and there's a right way to handle it, and there's a wrong way to handle it. But the Bible doesn't say don't be angry at all. It says be angry, but don't sin. And so, you know,
it's okay to be angry.
It's okay to be angry, but you've got to resolve that anger. And so, for me personally, there's times where I have to turn the radio off. There's times where I have to detach because it's so intense, because of the full magnitude of the corruption is so intense that I'm not going to allow myself to become bitter. I will not do it, because then that's going to rob me and my relationship with God and the joy that I can have in the Lord and the peace that have in the Lord.
And but more important than political party is the kingdom of God.
That's exactly right. But it doesn't mean that we should do what many people did decades ago, where they just said, oh, that's dirty politics, I want nothing to do with it, and they completely detached. And because many people of faith did that, people that, you know, identified themselves as followers of Jesus, because they did that, it created a vacuum. And guess who stepped into that vacuum? Well, you know, so we look, we're patriots, we care about our country, you know, you know, we have First Amendment freedom of speech. You know, I mean, people are free to voice their opinion. People are free to oppose what I believe. People are free to criticize me. They're free to do that. But I'm just as free to criticize them. And the reason, and this is my main point, what it's not just the issues, or let me say it this way, that one of the issues, and it might even be the most important issue, is the corruption. That is an issue. That is an issue that has to be addressed. That is an issue that has to be talked about. That is an issue that has to be talked about in very specific terms so that people will understand what's going on. Because you're not going to hear the stuff that we talk about on this show and that, you know, many other conservative talk shows address. You're not going to hear that from the mainstream news media. You're not going to hear it from CNN, from MSNBC, from ABC, from CBS, from NBC. You're not going to hear it from them. You're not going to hear it from the New York Times. You're not going to hear it from Washington Post. CBS. You're not going to hear it from social media. You're not going to hear any of this.
Nope.
You're not going to hear it. So what we're trying to do is we're Paul Revere. We're raising the alarm bell, and we're saying, hey, this needs attention. You know, if you're not aware of this, you need to be aware of it.
Yeah. Hey, broadcast engineer, I want to go to a song right now. I think it would be a good segue. Number 4. This is Late by Jack Johnson.
I know she said it's all right, but you can make it up next time. I know she knows it's not right, there ain't no use in lying. Maybe she thinks I know something, maybe she thinks it's fine. Thank you.
back to Radio Free DC. This is Steve Winkler. I am here with my cousin, and his name
Jamie
is...
Jamie Winkler.
Jamie Winkler.
And we're coming down from a Labor Day weekend.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And you know what? The song, that the intro song, it made me think of Link Ray, and there's not enough time to share the story on this show, but please remind me to share it on the next show. Great. Two stories about Link Ray, who was a local legend in rockabilly, that I'll share at some point. But you know what, brother? I wanted to just follow up on what we were just talking about. And you had mentioned how there's a lot of millennials that are seem to be really turned off by Trump and his kind of bombastic side to him. And, you know, when they see it as very offensive, and they see him as just
shouting,
being this, you know, carnival barker, as he's been called. And,
yeah.
And you know, that I just want to encourage anyone listening that is having a problem with Trump, you just need to think of a couple things that are critically important, and that is this, that you are never, ever, ever, the fact that Jamie and I were able to vote for Reagan twice was like a miracle. I mean, Reagan was a once-in-a-lifetime president, and we make no bones about it. We loved Reagan. You know, he was a great president. Chances are that more times than not, you're going to have to vote for somebody that where there will be things that you're just not going to be happy with. But what you have to understand about politics is that it's very rare that you are ever able to vote for a candidate that is just like your ideal candidate. And this goes back to what I alluded to earlier, in that millennials tend to be very idealistic. They want the world to be a certain way. You alluded to it in talking about how there's a lot of millennials that want safe zones and colleges. Look, this is the world we live in. And the harsh reality is that when you got two candidates in front of you, you got to peel back the layers of the bombastic stuff, and you got to look at, in reality, which candidate is going to be better. And part of what you have to look at is their track record. Part of what you have to look at is their integrity. And if you strip away the style points that you don't like about Donald Trump, and you strip away whatever it is, you know, about the other candidate that you think you do like, what is in reality, when I look at Hillary Clinton and I look at the corruption and the trail of destruction that the Clintons have left behind them, I mean, we could spend five shows on it, and one show would barely scratch the surface on it. So I just want to challenge anyone listening that, you know, please, you know, if you're actually thinking, well, I don't know if I can vote for him, just remember that if you see these things that are disturbing with Hillary Clinton, if you're pro-life, for example, you know, how could you not vote for Trump, who's already given us 10 Supreme Court justices that he would pick from, you know, that he would choose from? But to not vote for him just because you don't like maybe some of the brusque, bombastic style points that he uses, language that he uses, to not vote for him, that's a vote going straight to Hillary. Because at this point, the election is extremely close. It doesn't look like, at this point, it's going to be a landslide for Trump. So any vote that any person that says, well, I'm just going to stay home, that is lending itself towards getting Hillary Clinton elected. And so I ask you, what's more important to you, that you know, that you have another candidate other than Trump that's not bombastic, or is it more important to you that Hillary Clinton, who would be a terrible president, that we do whatever it takes to see that she doesn't get elected? You know, I'm not saying that Trump would be this phenomenal president. I don't really know. But there is no way on God's green earth that he'll be worse than Hillary Clinton. There's no way.
Well, and the thing is about Trump, is that you got to understand what we have is a problem with the establishment and the people who have been running the country through corruption, not just the Democrats, also the Republicans. We'll concede that. But the Republicans have been, even though they're wimps and they roll over and they do whatever the Democrats want them to do in most cases, you know, there's very little pushback on any of the policies, any of the things that Obama has done to violate the Constitution through executive order. He's lied continuously. He's lied over and over again. You know, reflect back. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. That's just the beginning of it. It's just been one lie after another in his whole cabinet, all of his cronies that he's working with. But it's like Newt says about Hillary. She lies, then she lies about the lies, and she lies about the lies about the lies that she just lied. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous what's going on with the corruption there on the Democrat side, and it's being exposed by the WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. Everything that's out there, true, it came from hackers. True, WikiLeaks published these things and put them out there, and they were from hackers. So a lot of people, you know, discredit it for that reason. But it shows what's going on behind the scenes. For once, we have positive proof that it's not just a conspiracy theory, that there really have been things going on all along where they're taking money from foreign governments, taking money from governments that are abusive toward women, taking money from governments that kill gays and behead Christians. And so what are they doing? They're buying their silence. They're buying Hillary's silence in the State Department. They're buying access. This is corrupt. This is called bribery. And we know that bribery in government is not good. So,
well,
anyway,
well
yeah,
said.
Think about it.
Well said. Well said.
So
I
we're coming to the end of another program.
Coming to the end here, huh?
And so let's go to song number 5. And we leave you all with this. We love you all. Good night. See you next week.
See you next week or 2 weeks.
Standing in the shadows of life.